You know, I admired Vice President Biden enormously when I sat behind him as a staff member on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And today, as we meet on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, I am honored to stand with him, with you, to support the American middle class. Let me also acknowledge two FTC commissioners who are here with me today, Julie Brill and Edith Ramirez, as well as some of our terrific FTC staff who worked on the debt settlement rule we are announcing this afternoon. The FTC's best-known accomplishment is the Do Not Call list. As of this month, we have 200 million telephone. We are 200 million telephone numbers strong. Do Not Call has helped return some peace and quiet to the American family's dinner hour. The American humorist Dave Barry called Do Not Call the most successful government program since the Elvis stamp. But our most critical work of late has been responding to the financial crisis, which has hit the middle class as hard as anyone. Just last month, the FTC reached a settlement with two countrywide mortgage servicing companies, which had preyed on families in financial distress. And I see Cliff White, the U.S. Executive Director of the U.S. Trustee's Office, in the audience. Our offices worked terrifically together on this case. It was truly a joint effort. Countrywide mishandled homeowners' loans in bankruptcy. It piled on excessive fees when the homes went into default, charging, for example, $300 to mow a lawn, $300. The settlement required Countrywide to return the money it bilked from homeowners, $108 million. Today, we're announcing help for homeowners who were ripped off by Home Assure, a so-called mortgage modification provider. Home Assure promised to prevent foreclosure no matter how much a borrower owed for upfront fees of $1,000 to $2,500. It pledged, and I quote, 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. But at least three quarters of Home Assure's customers got nothing but false hope. No mortgage modification plan and no refund. So the FTC took action. In today's settlement, Home Assure will pay $2.4 million in refunds, approximately $1,000 to each customer, and the settlement order will ban Home Assure from the mortgage modification business forever. Home Assure is just one of more than 40 cases the FTC has filed since January 2009 against financial frauds, from foreclosure rescue scams to bogus get-rich-quick schemes. And with our partners, the state attorney generals, we've filed over 300 cases during that period of time. Just as important, today the FTC is announcing a new rule to combat fraudulent debt relief companies. Many of these companies offer to reduce credit card debts by half or more in exchange for large upfront fees, often well into the thousands of dollars. Some of you have probably seen their ads on TV or listened to them on the radio. But far from leaving customers better off, however, these companies push consumers deeper into debt, even into bankruptcy. That's a business model based on deceit. Members of Congress, from Jay Rockefeller to Chuck Schumer, who has a bill to stop this abuse, have recognized the serious nature of the problem. And today, we're taking a major step forward towards solving it. The FTC's new rule prohibits companies from collecting fees until they settle a consumer's debt as promised. The requirement will ensure that only companies that work diligently to resolve consumers' debts get paid. And the rule takes a balanced approach, too, by allowing companies to require customers to set aside, in a sort of escrow-like bank account, money to pay both their debt and the fee, again, only if the company delivers on the promise it made to the consumer. The rule requires advertising claims to be backed up with hard facts. It mandates that companies disclose full information about how much debt relief will cost and how long it will really take. Violation of an FTC rule can result in fines, and make no mistake, we intend to enforce this rule very aggressively. Now, before turning the podium over to the Vice President, let me mention one more critical issue in terms of the pocketbooks of the American family: keeping health care costs under control. As all of us know, many Americans pay too much for prescription drugs, and at the FTC, we've been working diligently to try to lower prices. One way to ensure the availability of generic drugs, which on average cut costs by about 85%. Unfortunately, brand pharmaceutical companies in recent years have increasingly cut deals with their generic competitors to settle patent infringement cases by literally paying them to stay off the market, not to compete, to sit it out. These sweetheart pay-for-delay deals are win-win for the drug companies, but they are lose-lose for consumers who are left holding the bag or footing the bill for much higher cost medicines. We estimate at the FTC that these deals cost American consumers and the federal government, which buys about a third of all prescription drugs, $3.5 billion each year. A bipartisan FTC, as many of you know, has both challenged these settlement agreements in court and supported legislation to stop them. The Obama administration has been with us every step of the way. The House has already passed a bill to stop these unconscionable deals, and this afternoon the Senate Appropriations Committee will take up a similar measure. We very much hope that the committee does the right thing. It's going to be a very close vote, and that in the end, they help move a bill that will result in President Obama having one on his desk to sign, a law on his desk to sign later this year. So with the FTC, we are proud of our work on behalf of the middle class as it faces economic challenges and everyday concerns. We are delighted that we will soon be joined by a new cop on the Consumer Protection Beat, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, to help American families. We thank you, Mr. Vice President, for inviting the FTC to be here today, as well as for inviting the many consumer groups who are also here to support your middle class initiative. And with that, I'm going to turn the podium over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Folks, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. It is true, John and I sat together for hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of testimony, and you were invaluable to the committee then, John, and now in your autonomous role as chairman of the FTC, the FTC, with your the bipartisan membership on that committee, is doing what it was always intended to do, protecting consumers, aggressively protecting consumers. Folks, before I begin my more formal remarks, let me just say, in this great recession that we've gone through, as is pointed out, the middle class has been hit very, very badly. And there's two ways we can bring relief to the middle class. One is changing the overall economic environment, where businesses are investing more and where the economy is growing, the GDP is expanding, and jobs are being created. But in the meantime, and for the long run, we can also significantly help the bottom line of the middle class by protecting their interest as consumers. It is real. It means real savings for them when they are protected. And so I can't tell you how pleased I am at the balanced yet aggressive stance that the FTC is taking to protect consumers. And, Mr. Chairman, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I'm mildly prejudiced on your behalf, but it's true. And I think the commission is doing a fantastic job. Commissioner Ramirez and Commissioner Brill are equally as informed and aggressive and in protecting consumers' basic rights that any American consumer should have. And so I also want to thank all those of you who represent the consumer groups. I'm not going to go through the list here, but quite frankly, you have been sort of the clarion call for a long time about us getting on the stick and making sure we eliminate what everyone, Republican, Democrat, independent, voter, non-voter, every American out there just knows is wrong. It's kind of like that ad, you know, on TV for the little kid sitting there, and they say, you know, go find the eggs, and he goes and collects the eggs, and the guy keeps taking an egg fee, and the end comment is, you know it's just wrong, or something to that effect. This does not require some great legal test. People can taste it, they smell it, they know it. And America is about basic fairness. And that's all you all are doing. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you very much. Let me start by saying today that at a time when the number one economic imperative is to empower entrepreneurs to create jobs here at home, unfortunately, and I'm going to be partisan for a moment here, which, as Vice President, I haven't been very often, but I'm frustrated. A partisan minority in the United States Senate has inexplicably, in my view, voted to block an up-and-down vote on a bipartisan small business bill This bill contains a small business tax cut after small business tax cut, including zero capital gains on key small business investments that were co-authored by Democrats and Republicans. And still, every single solitary Republican in the Senate blocked an up and down vote by maintaining a filibuster, not allowing us even to consider the need for these small business tax cuts that we're pushing. And again, the tax cuts were co-authored by Democrats and Republicans. You know, there's a new majority by definition in the Senate. I've never seen it after 36 years of being a senator. I've never seen a time when the new majority becomes 60. A supermajority is required to virtually do anything in the Senate today. And it really is, it's really disappointing. The bill contained a bipartisan initiative after bipartisan initiative to unlock badly needed credit for small businesses who want to grow, to invest, and most importantly, to hire new workers. And every single Republican in the Senate voted against even giving small businesses an up and down vote on their behalf. If there's one area that everyone should be willing to put partisanship aside, it should be to get more tax relief and credit to American small businesses. What's their alternative? What's the economic alternative? These same partisan minority seem to be interested in no problem deficit financing $30 billion in continued tax cuts for the top 1% of the wage earners in America. I don't begrudge them tax cuts. But if the last folks in America need that tax cut now is that top 1%, and these businesses badly need the tax cut. $30 billion, when in fact we would rather see that $30 billion go to community banks, money that will have to be paid back to the government, not to cost a single penny to the taxpayers, and required to lend that $30 billion to small businesses. That's what the bill calls for, requirement that we would give community banks $30 billion in money loaned to them that they would then in turn have to loan to small businesses that qualify. I find it absolutely, well, I'm not happy. You know, if past is prologue, these loans would have unlocked even more lending, generating probably closer to $50 billion in capital going out to small businesses who are able to, capable of, have good credit and want to expand and hire people. They play a vital role, as they've always played, in driving our economy and creating jobs. Last year, the president asked me to set up a middle-class task force, which I was honored to do. You see, the president and I share a common goal that we talked about when we ran and since we've held office. We want to make sure that we will measure the success or failure of this administration based on whether or not the middle class has grown stronger and those aspiring to the middle class have a better chance of getting into the middle class. It will not be based on whether or not the GDP is growing at 7 or 8%. It will not be based upon whether or not the stock market is at 11 or 12 or 15,000 points. It will be measured on whether or not middle-class people are able to stay in the middle class and those aspiring can get there. Now, the new Federal Trade Commission rule that the chairman just announced is a great example of progress toward achieving that goal. It's about ensuring that consumers who are working to climb out of debt get the services they pay for and that they don't get ripped off. At any time, especially at a time like this, it's simply unacceptable to have companies using deceptive, abusive business practices, preying on middle-class families who are working hard to get back on track. And many times, through no fault of their own, they got in trouble. You know, everybody talks about subprime mortgages. A lot of people who are upside down on their mortgages did not have subprime mortgages. But when two subprime mortgages on their block cause foreclosures on their block, the entire value of every house in the neighborhood plummets. We're making some real progress here turning this economy around. Just yesterday, two renowned economists, a Republican and a Democrat, released an extremely careful and detailed study showing how the measures we've taken thus far to avoid and get out of this great recession are turning into something, keeping it from turning into something worse, have benefited the American people. You know, they point out that we lost about 8 million jobs in this great recession. And they point out in this report that had we not taken the action we had taken, there would have been an additional 8 million jobs lost if we hadn't taken the steps to revive the economy. But we still have a long, long way to go. And the last thing consumers need is a playing field that's tilted against them. So we're working very hard to level that playing field, not just at the FTC. Last spring, the president signed the credit card reform bill, shepherded through by Senator Dodd and others. In the House as well, Barney Frank. So credit card companies can't continue to trap consumers with hidden fees or retroactive rate increases. So you can't have your interest rate raised up to 40%, which was happening, because the fine print said, and I'm being literal, that any time for any reason, they can raise your rate. And this spring, we passed the health reform bill, which expanded coverage while ending the worst abuses of insurance companies, like ending your coverage because you have failed to fill out a form. You forgot to mention that you took acne medicine when you were a teenager. It's called rescission, is the fancy phrase. They can't go out there and set arbitrary limits on the extent of the coverage you will get. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is, pre-existing conditions are no longer going to be able to be a reason why you can't get the insurance at a reasonable rate. Most Americans don't realize if you have a diabetic child that's 13 years old, it's a pre-existing condition, and for the entire family to get health insurance, it becomes prohibitively expensive. Won't be able to do that anymore. And recently, of course, we passed and the president signed into law the most sweeping, balanced financial reform since the Great Depression. It isn't a law against Wall Street. It's a law for consumers. It's about making sure that everyone knows the rules before the game starts, that consumers aren't hit with hidden overdraft fees on their checking accounts. And folks aren't tricked by pages of incomprehensible print when they apply for a credit card or a student loan or a mortgage. It's about ensuring that ordinary investors get a clearer picture of the risk and rewards of their investment options, and that brokers who dole out investment advice are looking after their clients just as they look after themselves. And this bill doesn't just put new consumer protections in place immediately. It creates an independent Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to enforce and improve the protections in the future. The agency will ensure that banks, mortgage companies, payday lenders, credit card lenders are following the law and keeping up their end of the bargain with consumers. All in all, the financial reform bill that the president signed last week is the strongest consumer financial protection law in American history. Nothing else comes close. So, folks, in this bill, and throughout all the administration's consumer protection initiatives and the actions of the independent agencies like the FTC, there's a common thread, creating a basic sense of clarity and fairness for everyone in our economy, from consumers to small businesses to big banks. This isn't radical stuff, folks. This is just common sense, good, clear access to correct information, which is a basic building block to free market economies. And it's exactly the kind of clarity and security middle-class folks are looking for every day as they sit around their kitchen tables coping with their financial crisis. The security of knowing that you've got your finances in order and that no credit card or debt settlement company is going to rip you off. The security of knowing the actual lifetime terms of a loan you're taking out, all out in the open with no hidden clauses, surprises, or traps. That's what these consumer reforms are all about, providing security in very insecure times. And that's what the Middle Class Task Force is all about as well. You see, we recognize that at the end of the day, building a strong economy and a strong country isn't about choosing between business and consumers, nor is it about Wall Street pitted against Main Street. It's about creating the conditions in which businesses compete to offer the best products, and consumers have the information they need to make informed choices for themselves, not against themselves. Because if this economic crisis has taught us anything, it's that a country rises or falls together. Not only poor folk got hurt by this, a lot of very wealthy folk got wiped out by this great recession. A lot of businesses got wiped out because of the financial irregularities that occurred and the cowboy mentality that existed. Over the last couple of years, we fell hard, but we've gotten up, we're beginning to shake off the losses, and now we're on our way back. And as we build a stronger, more durable, more resilient economy for the 21st century, we're going to make sure that all of us are protected so that we can build the kind of stronger, more durable, more resilient middle class that is the backbone of this society. Our economy thrives, above all else, on public confidence. And as FDR put it, confidence thrives on honesty, on honor, on sacredness of obligations, on faithful protection, and unselfish performance. Without them, we cannot live. Folks, together, all of you in this room, including the FTC here, are beginning to restore that confidence, and with it, restoring the promise of an America where all have the same chance to get ahead and succeed. Once again, I want to thank John and his staff for their great work. And thanks to each of you for being here. And may we keep this up. This is not a one-time incident of us announcing how we're going to protect consumers. This is part of the commitment President Obama is making to the American people. And it's going to benefit everyone, the middle class, the more wealthy class, the poorer class. Everyone benefits from this kind of certainty. So God bless you all for keeping the fight up, and may God protect our troops. Thank you so much for all you're doing. And commissioners, thank you. Thanks a lot, folks. Appreciate it.